Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 6, the verses 1 through 18. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 6, the first 18 verses. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Almighty, unchangeable, and eternal God, the Father of all mercies, the fountain of all good, in thee we live, we move, and have our being. Thou hast created the heavens and the earth, and thou upholds and directs everything upon this earth to a certain end. That concerns the kingdoms of this earth, but that also concerns the smallest matters, because thou hast taught thy church that a sparrow shall not fall to the ground without thy divine will. When we draw nigh unto thee in this evening hour, wilt thou grant an impression of those things, and teach us how dependent we are upon thee, O Lord. In our deep fallen Adam, we wanted to be independent, and then it is so necessary that thou teachest us that we are so dependent upon thee for everything. May that dependency be experienced in this evening hour, in speaking and in listening. May our help truly be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Lord, grant also an impression of our sinnership. We can confess it with our lips. It is necessary that it is felt in our hearts, and that we may have an impression that we are not worthy to lift up our eyes unto thee, but that we may be ashamed and smite upon our breast with the publican, with the prayer, God be merciful to me a sinner, O Lord. That is our only hope, thy mercy and thy mercy alone. And that is a mercy that thy dear Son has merited for his church. That is a mercy which is granted freely by the work of the Holy Spirit. And thou wast not only appointed the end, thou wast also appointed the means. Thou wast granted the means of grace to that end. And to that end we humbly beg of thee, that thou may bless thy word in this evening hour for true conversions, and that thy children, that they may be instructed, that they may be comforted, that they may be encouraged, O Lord. Wilt thou grant those Advent exercises by the first time and by renewal? Thou knowest what an unbelief and what a darkness there can be. Oh, for those shepherds it was also a dark night. But then thou wast come with that glorious message, Ah, Lord. Be then a surprising God in this season. Grant a prayer for one another. Do bless the means of grace in the church. Wilt thou remember and help the consistory to that end? Wilt thou help and remember fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children? We commend our Christian school unto thee, where for a few weeks that the labors will cease. May it be for refreshment of body and mind for those that labor in the school, and also for the students. And, Lord, wilt thou spare us all? We are all lying under the sentence of death, but may it please thee to remember us with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Lord, bless thy word for Jew and Gentile, whether it is brought to places of persecution with that bitter enmity, and other places where there is so much ignorance, other places darkness and superstition. May thy word go forth with power divine, and in the latter days of the earth, may it please thee to grant a great harvest, that the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it may be expanded, and that the kingdom of Satan may be broken down. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Remember the sick and the afflicted. Then we commend by renewal the old father in the hospital. Then we may humbly ask thee that thou may bless the means, and above all, that thou may save his never dying soul. Wilt thou remember all those that are near and dear unto him? Lord, remember Bethesda. Then we commend unto thee their residence. Wilt thou remember all those who may lovingly care for them where they are overwhelmed? Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening where it is necessary? Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another, and that this calling, Lord, that it may be used for our residence, that many in the evening of their life, that they may be wrought upon. Oh, may it please thee to spare to that end, that it may be for the purpose of all purposes, that thy kingdom may come, and that thy name may be glorified. Lord, remember all under the physician's care. Remember those that are taking treatments, the circumstances. They are known unto thee, and may it all be blessed. Then by renewal, we remember all the mourning ones, Lord. There are many amongst us. Oh, do continue to uphold them, and remember all our elderly ones. Wilt thou remember the family circles, and may love abound when it is not so. Wilt thou grant repentance what has been separated, and may it please thee to bring it together according to thy holy word. Lord, remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Wilt thou continue to provide for our daily bread? There are many also in this province that at the moment have no employment. Lord, wilt thou uphold them in these distressing circumstances, and may they be drawn to thy holy word. To that end, remember our province, the premier, and those that may stand at his side. Wilt thou grant wisdom in these difficult times, and that there may be a turning unto thee. Remember our whole country, O Lord. Then under these solemn callings, then the unborn continue to be murdered. And may the prayers be multiplied. And in this solemn time, that it may please thee by thy Spirit to work lovingly and irresistibly. Oh, give us not over to the hardness of the heart. That is the greatest judgment that can come upon a person, upon a family, upon a church, upon a people. O Lord, cause thy face to shine upon us, and then we shall be saved. We remember the handicapped ones. We remember the orphans. Lord, remember all those that have special difficulties. And when thou granteth yet health and strength, may we be given to acknowledge thee therefore. And now, Lord, may it please thee to grant a good evening round about thy word, those that may come up to thy house in the sanctuary and in the basement. Remember the many that are called upon to listen along. Ah, Lord, and may we be found to be more a praying and a begging people at thy throne of grace. Ah, may that yet become a wonder, that thy throne of judgment, that it may also be a throne of grace, and that is possible through the gift thy dear Son, which thou wast sent into the world. His name has been called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Lord, grant now a good evening together. We have to confess we have no rights. Our sins, they are manifold, but all may it please thee. Ah, thou wast promised, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Thou lovest the gates of Zion more than the tabernacles of Jacob. May that be experienced. Thou hast declared that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 444, the stanzas 1, 5, and 8. O bless the Lord, my soul, with all thy power. Exalt the God who is thy strength and tower. Let all within me bless his holy name. Bless him who heareth all thy supplication and what follows. Psalter 444, the stanzas 1, 5, and 8. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 46, the question and answers 120 and 121. Question 120. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Answer, that immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely, that God has become our Father in Christ, and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. Question 121. Why is it here added, which art in heaven? Answer, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. Lord's Day number 46 that speaks of the instructive address of the Lord's Prayer, with four thoughts. In the first place, this address implies a tender relationship. In the second place, it confesses a childlike confidence. In the third place, it teaches profound humility. And in the fourth place, instills a trusting expectation. The instructive address of the Lord's Prayer implies a tender relationship, confesses a childlike confidence, teaches profound humility, and instills a trusting expectation. A beloved congregation, in the last Lord's Day we have heard of the necessity and the blessing of prayer, a gift which the Lord has granted to his church, has exhorted his church to the same. And then we can remember how we have come to the part of prayer. We are in the part of gratitude, where the child of God has received the remission of sins, has been delivered, and now the instructors in the part of gratitude, then they deal with the law and with prayer. Then for many Sabbath days, then we have dwelt at the foot of Mount Sinai. And then it is good by renewal to ask ourselves, how was that now been? When we were called upon to listen to the law at the foot of Mount Sinai, when the instructors, when they have explained one commandment after another commandment, and then we have heard that we were very guilty. And may I now ask you, is that not a fitting question? When the year 2020, when it draws closer to the end, when the Lord grants it, then there are 11 days left. And then we would do well to consider how it has been at the foot of Mount Sinai, and how it is with our guilt, as that brought us in secret places, as that caused distress. Have we learned to weep? Have we learned to ask? Because that is an Advent, people, and that needs that precious Savior, and that they may be pardoned from all their sins. And now we have come to the part of prayer, it is true. And then we hope to hear that in that prayer, that there is much instruction, that there is comfort, that there is encouraging, but also that it requires examination. Also in this evening hour, when we hope to hear of the address of this prayer, but then it is also for uncovering. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth that are not only guilty at the foot of Mount Sinai, but that also learn their guilt when the instructors may go through the Lord's Prayer from one petition to another. Then the church, how necessary to pray with the disciples in Luke 11, where the disciples had said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And now concerning, we have heard in the last Lord's Day, what hath God commanded us to ask of him, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. That prayer that we find in two Gospels, we have read together out of Matthew 6, where Christ was given to speak to the Pharisees, who thought they could pray so well, and where their religion was much show, but who have never been taught by the Spirit to come in those secret places to pour out their heart. Those Pharisees that have never become the publican of Matthew 18, verse 13, where the publican stood in the back of the temple, and that he has not raised up his eyes to heaven, but has smote upon his breast, and has prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then in Luke 11, then the disciples, then they have told their master that John has taught his disciples to pray. Of course, when we speak of that teaching, that is only concerning the form, because true prayer, that is a work of the Holy Spirit. The great Apostle Paul, he has written to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 26, for the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Thus the necessity, when we consider the Lord's Prayer, may that be all our prayer, that we may be given to beg the Lord, that he may teach us to pray, that we may learn our need, that we may learn experientially the Lord unto whom we pray, in his divine attributes, and in his willingness, and in his mercy to give, and also that he is that Almighty God, as we hope to hear in this evening hour. Then how many prayers, then we must confess that most of our prayers that they are not really worthy the name of prayers. But nevertheless, the Lord has a people that the Spirit teaches them to pray. Oh, that they are given to beg, that we find them at the throne of grace, that they are given to cry unto the Lord for all their needs. When we read in Matthew 6 and Luke 11 that Christ has taught this prayer to his church, then is this the only prayer that we may pray? And then it is very clear that it is not so, because in the scriptures then we find many other prayers which the saints of old, which they have prayed to the Lord. In the second place, when we compare Matthew 6 and Luke 11, then the words of that prayer, they are not exactly the same. In the next place, then Christ has said after this manner. He did not say after the form. Thus the Lord's Prayer, that is only a form to model our prayers after, if we may say it in such a way, because in the Lord's Prayer, then many matters are mentioned in general, and in true prayer, then particular shall be mentioned, then our sins, they shall be confessed in particular, but also our blessings and the closer life that a child of God may have at the throne of grace, the more particular the petition shall be. Oh, then even the smallest matters, they shall be laid before the Lord. And now when we consider the Lord's Prayer, then the question may be asked, and the question is asked many a times. And now this prayer, which Christ has taught to his church, who may now pray this prayer, may all pray it, or only God's people? What do the scriptures say? Then in the first place, when we consider Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, then it is true, then those disciples, they were sitting in the front, but there was a large multitude, and that is what these words were addressed to in Matthew 6. And among the disciples, there was also a Judas. If we say, and it is true, let us say it this way. We all may pray this prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. But when we ask, who can pray it in the proper sense of the word, then it becomes a different matter, because the instructors, with the address they are given to declare that God is become our Father in Christ. And when we would say that only God's people are permitted to pray this prayer, then the next question could be, how far must the child of God be led to pray this prayer? Thus, we may all pray this prayer, but now may it become our need by the work of the Holy Spirit when we consider the riches and the deep meaning of this address that we are given to cry unto the Lord. When we consider this address, our Father, then the Lord, it is true, about I read in Malachi 3 verse 10, a concerning creation. Have we not all one Father? Hath he not created us? Thus, on account of creation, he is our Father. He is our upholder. He is our benefactor. It is true. Christ has said to the Jewish people in John 8 verse 44 that were boasting of their place as a Jewish nation, as the children of Abram, that the devil was their father. Our Father which art in heaven. And now concerning the profound depth and the true meaning of that petition of our Father, then it speaks of a child. And in the family of God, we read thereof in Ephesians 3, the verses 14 and 15, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And now in the family, in the true church, then there are little ones, and then there are bigger ones, the same as in a natural family. Do we not read in the scripture of those babes and those little babes? They desire the sincere milk of the word. Those babes, they are given to cry when they are hungry, when they have need. Oh, those babes, they experience much of the love of the Father. But what is now necessary, boys and girls, when a baby is born, then that baby does not right away say, Father, but they have to grow up. Then in the scripture, then we read of children. Ah, those are children that need much instruction concerning the ways of the Lord. Do we not read of those young men that are zealous for the kingdom and for the honor of God, who may be soldiers of Jesus Christ? We also read of those fathers that are able to teach and to instruct. Our Father, which art in heaven, O young and old, then what an examination. We have said the Lord is our Father on account of creation, but has he now become our Father by grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit? Has in this year, have there now been souls that have been taken from the banner of the Prince of Darkness and placed under the banner of God and congregation when that takes place? Oh, it is so necessary to examine ourselves as we hasten to the end of the year. Who do we serve? Who do we love? Whom do we obey? Whom's honor do we seek? What gives us the most joy? What gives us the most delight? Have we learned that we have sinned so grievously? Oh, we have heard it when we have considered the Ten Commandments. But have we learned it experientially? Have we now become a sinner? Has room been made for that precious child whose birth we hope to commemorate in this week when the Lord grants it? Have we become a missing people? And now concerning our Father, then it is so necessary that a child of God is instructed, that they are led further. Oh, when the Lord converts, then we experience much of the providential dispensations of the Father. Then the Father shall give many tokens that he knoweth of us. But now it is so necessary for the church to learn that they are brought to the manger, that they may be given to behold the gift of the Father, his only begotten Son, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Then it is necessary for the child that they are brought to the cross of Calvary and in Easter, that they may experience that the depth to the Father, because in the economy of the divine essence, then he is the upholder of justice, and that the church may learn that the Son has come. Oh, he was born in the manger of Bethlehem as that gift, but he had to suffer and die, and to that end, the debt has been paid. Do we not read in Romans 4, verse 25, he was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Ah, the disciples, they have learned more with the ascension, the homecoming to the Father brought back to the Father heart of God. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, the testimony of the Holy Spirit, as we read in Romans 8, where the church may say, Abba, Father, our Father. The nominal Christendom, they use it so easy, so often it is true, it is biblical, but with so little impression. And there is a Christendom in our day, they speak great language, but you are not jealous of their life. Nevertheless, for the child of God, oh, what a blessing when they may experience our Father in different degrees, in different steps. Our second thought, it confesses a childlike confidence when we consider the address to the Lord's Prayer. Then it implies, fathers, what a profound responsibility that lies upon your shoulder to be a father, a husband for your wife, and a father to your children, because many times when our children, when they hear of these things, then they can compare spiritual with earthly things, and how many children there have been that have been abused. And also concerning this address, that they have such wrong impressions. Why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? Answer, that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, do you hear, congregation, the instructors repeat it, that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, then how necessary each time by renewal that we receive a deep impression unto whom we speak, that we speak to that great and majestic God. But now our instructors, because in the address, first our Father, and then which is in heaven, that's the first part, that speaks of a closeness. And the second part, that speaks of a distance, that immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, and to that end, how necessary to ask the Lord that he may grant a spirit of prayer and of supplication. Oh, it can be that a child begins their prayer and that it is so cold, that it is so listless. But while they are on their knees, that the Lord may come over and that he may grant a humbling awe, then there shall be a confession that it was not immediately in the very beginning of our prayer he might excite in us. Thus, the instructors are telling us in this address, and not to say it as a parrot, but that we are given to think of what we say, what we pray, the deep meaning of these words, that he might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God. Thus, it speaks of a childlike prayer, a childlike trust. We read in Matthew 18, verse 3, except we become as a little child, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Thus, when we read of a childlike reverence and confidence, then it does not speak of a child that is filled with fear. In a family life, when there is a child that is filled with fear, you can see it on its face when it comes in the presence of father. Of course, when a child has done something wrong, then it is different. Then if it is well with that child, then they shall not be so brave and maybe stand at a distance and hoping that father will say, boy, what have you done, that they may tell. But under normal circumstances, then for a child, when they come to the house, they do not have to knock on the door, or they have to ask whether they may come in. But then there shall be a freedom. The old apostle John has written to the church in 1 John 4, verse 18, that perfect love, that it casteth out fear. Thus, then the instructors are saying that the address in the Lord's Prayer, that it must banish that slavish fear, but that it might incite in us that childlike fear, that childlike reverence and confidence in God, that with that address, our Father, that the child may receive an impression that they have such a rich father. Do we not read in Psalm 50, verse 10, that every beast of the forest and the cattle upon 10,000s, they are all his. And in Haggai 2, verse 8, that the gold and silver are mine. Thus, with a confidence in God, that they have such a rich God, that they have such a wise God, that they have such an omniscient God, that he knows all their needs most perfectly. Ah, that they have a God and a Father who giveth so liberally, who giveth at his time, and he is well pleased when the church may come unto him. Oh, in this petition it is declared what the brothers of Joseph have said to their father Jacob, that Joseph is yet alive and that he is governor over all the land of Egypt, our father. We do not read the word my in the Lord's Prayer. It is true, We also have our particular needs. And concerning salvation, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. But when Christ has taught his church to pray our prayer, then it is an enlarged heart with a desire that many may be placed under that banner. Excite in us a childlike reverence, as honoring our Father, and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer. How must we understand those words? Then the instructors do not say that reverence and that confidence in God, because we read in Hebrews 11 verse 6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then the instructors do not say that reverence and that confidence, that it is the foundation that their prayers may be heard, that is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they have immediately added, namely that God is become our Father in Christ. But what the instructors are trying to say and trying to stress, if we think of a house and the foundation is not good, think of the parable in Matthew 7, the verses 24 through 27 of that wise and foolish builder. If the foundation is not strong and good, then the house cannot stand. And then the instructors are trying to stress the necessity of this childlike reverence and confidence in God. Then they are saying, without that childlike reverence and that true confidence in God, that the Lord is able and willing to hear our prayers, namely for the sake of Christ, then it is not a true prayer. Our third thought, it teaches profound humility. Let us first sing. Psalter 154, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. To God Most High shall rise my prayer, to God who makes my wants his care. From heaven he will salvation send, and me from every foe defend. And what follows? 154, 2, 3, and 4. the instructive address of the Lord's Prayer, implying a tender relationship, confessing a childlike confidence, and now in the third place, it teaches profound humility. Then in question 121, there is ask, why is it here added, which art in heaven? Answer, lest we should form any earthly conception of God's heavenly majesty. We read in the scripture of different ones, when they have even approached earthly monarchs, that they were given to bow and to give due honor. Think of the brothers of Joseph, when they have come to buy corn, then they were given to bow. Jacob, when he has appeared before Pharaoh, when we think of the great throne of Solomon, the Queen of Sheba has come. When we think of an Esther in Esther 5, she has said in chapter 4, verse 16, so will I go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. And then in Esther 5, she did not just go ordinarily, but she put on her best garments. And then she has went through that long hallway, all were trembling. Her only hope was that golden scepter, and then she was given to bow. And now when we approach an earthly monarch, a king, I think, boys and girls, if in this week that you were called upon or you would meet with the king, with the prime minister, the premier, then you would ask your father and mother, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to act? What am I supposed to say? How am I to address that man? And that is what the address of the Lord's Prayer speaks of. Lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty. Do you hear it, congregation? The foot of Mount Sinai, we have all found out that we were very guilty. But now when we are called upon to consider the Lord's Prayer, then we must all confess that we are very, very guilty concerning our prayers. When we consider prayer, think of the third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. How listless, how thoughtless our prayers can be. How often the table, when we bow our knees in the morning, night, you do that, boys and girls, right? When you come out of bed, when you go to bed, and then we have heard in the last Lord's Day the requisites of that prayer, then we have found out how guilty we are, and now with the address concerning that childlike reverence and that confidence in God. And now in the second part, which art in heaven, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty. Thus, the necessity when we fold our hands, close our eyes, that is part of that reverence, that we shall not be drawn aside, but that we may be enabled better to focus on our prayers, because we can understand, boys and girls, if we would pray with our eyes open, then there is much to see, and therefore we always close our eyes and we fold our hands. But now an impression that we form not an earthly conception, but that we have a true impression unto whom we speak. And that is the Lord that sitteth in the heavens upon that great throne, surrounded by the holy angels, a Lord who sees everything upon this earth, even to the smallest things, the Lord who is so holy, so righteous, that cannot have communion with a sinner. Oh, an impression that it is the Lord who has the brittle thread of our life in her hand. It is the Lord who giveth our heartbeat, our breath, not only during the day. Just imagine, congregation, if we had to take care of ourselves concerning our body when we are asleep. But not only an impression that the Lord is everything in his hand, but of his great majesty. When we think of the saints in the Bible, and when they received a visit from the Lord, even from an angel, then how often, most of the time, they have been afraid, they have trembled, that the angel had to say, "Fear not." Think of a Manoah, when that angel has appeared, then Manoah said to his wife, "We must die because we have seen God." That was a profound impression of the majesty of God. When we think of the prophets, the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 6, where in a vision he was given to see those cherubims with those six wings, two they covered their faces, two their feet, and with two they have flown, and where the angels have cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Then we read of the prophet, "Woe unto me, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips." When we think in the Advent season of the Old Testament church, when the fullness of time has come, then for Zacharias, when that angel Gabriel has appeared and spoken, then we read that he feared. We read of Mary that she was troubled. When we read Revelations 4, and when John on the island Patmos, when in that vision he was given to see the Lord upon the throne, and then those four beasts, then they have cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Then he was given to see those 24 elders, that they have fallen down and that they have worshipped the beast. Thus the necessity, an impression of the Lord's heavenly majesty, and in that presence, then the sinner is given to see that he is unclean, that he cannot stand before infinite holiness and infinite perfection. Oh, that in this prayer, then the necessity as implied the instructors, they have spoken thereof, it could be the question. Most of our prayers, Christ has taught his disciples in John 16, the verses 23 and 24, to ask in his name, then it could be asked in the Lord's Prayer. Then we do not read in Jesus' name or for Christ's sake, but then in this first petition, our Father, because in the life of the child of God, then he has become their Father through the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. And therefore the instructors, they have stressed, namely that God has become our Father in Christ. Thus in this address, then it is included for Christ's sake and in Jesus' name. Lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, then it is implied the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, that we are given to ask the Lord continually, Lord, grant now an impression, oh, instruct me who thou art, where thou art high and lifted up, so majestic and so glorious, and that I am but a poor sinner dwelling upon the earth. Our forethought, it instills a trusting expectation. And then we read, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. Thus that refers to that childlike trust and that confidence in the Old Testament. Then each time by renewal we read of different ones when they came in difficulty and when there were trials and when the enemy has come, instead of expecting everything from God alone, who has done so many wonders for the children of Israel, then we read many times that they have sought it elsewhere, Assyria, Egypt, but then they were disappointed. I read in 2 Kings 1 of King Ahaziah, when he was sick, that he did not send his servants to the prophet, but that he ascended to the Baal-zeab, the god of Ekron, and then the Lord has come against them. And that is now a fruit of our deep fallen Adam, that we have become independent, and that with our troubles and our trials, that so often we seek it elsewhere, that is where we place our trust, and we do not go to the Lord. What would you think, father and mother, if tomorrow your boy and girl, your son and daughter, your little child, would go to a neighbor and to ask for different things, whether it was breakfast or something they like to have, how that would cut through your heart, father and mother. Then when your boy, son and daughter would come home, then you would set them down, and then you would instruct them, and how you have been sorely grieved, and you would say, my son and daughter, have we not provided well for you, to expect from his almighty power. In the 12 articles, we read that term, that the Lord is almighty two times. What a pillar of faith. Ah, then the instructors, they are given to stress in this petition, our Father, which art in heaven. Then they are given to speak of those heavenly storehouses, that the Lord has everything in his hand. Think of Joseph with those storehouses we never read, of course. In a natural sense, they could be emptied. But now in a spiritual way, those storehouses are so full. And that is for the needs of soul and body for his child, and that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. And then we must return to the answer of 129 when it speaks of our Father and will much less deny us what we ask of him in true faith, then our parents will refuse us earthly things. And now, of course, boys and girls, you do not always receive what you ask for. Sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes father and mother says, my son, my daughter, you must be a little older. But it can also be that children ask something of father and mother that would not be safe, and that would not be good, and that would not be profitable. And a child, if it is right, when they love their father and mother, then they do not wish to receive something that a father and mother finally gives, but that it is not in such a nice way, and therefore the instructors and will much less deny us what we ask of them. Ah, the Lord has a people that there are times with their desires and with their request that they come to the place and that is necessary. We hope to hear it concerning those first three petitions, but then they are given to beg the Lord, Lord, may it be in thy divine favor and not in thy disfavor. We have an example in Numbers 11 that the children of Israel in their wilderness journey, that they became tired of that manna, the same food, every day and every week. And then they have lusted for flesh, and the Lord has given flesh, but was not in the Lord's favor. And then we read that they have picked up those quails, and the flesh was in their mouth, and that the Lord has sent a great plague amongst them, that they were destroyed. Our Father, which art in heaven, we have said at the beginning, then this prayer and the petition, there is much instruction, but also examination. Our Father, which art in heaven, we have said, the Lord is all our Father in the way of creation. He has created us, and he is our benefactor. But now it is so necessary that by the grace of God that we may experience what the instructors have stressed, that God has become our Father in Christ. May we be given to examine each our hearts. We have listed, mentioned some marks of the mark of grace. Do we know the Lord? Then I am not even asking whether we know God as our Father, but has God become real in our life? Have we learned to love him? Do we obey him? Do we honor him? Do we try to please him? Have we learned to weep because of our many sins? Have we learned that distance, that we have sinned it all away? Ah, that is necessary, that rule may be made for that precious child that was born in the manger of Bethlehem, whose birth we hope to commemorate. Our Father, which art in heaven, then the instructors, they are given to speak of an almighty God. We read in Psalter 196 that the psalmist has said, "Blessed be the Lord, our Father's God, eternal King of kings, who only is omnipotent, performing wondrous things." May those wondrous things be experienced amongst us and our children. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank Thee that Thou wast given in other Lord's Day, under different circumstances, where many were called upon to listen along in their homes. And then in this evening, then we have heard of the address in the Lord's Prayer. May we be given to examine each our hearts, and may we be given to meditate, and may we bring it on our knees, Lord, teach us to pray. Then that was granted that we may commence in other week. When thou giveth it unto us and our children, there is one Sabbath day left, Lord. Wilt thou then also in this week, wilt thou care, wilt thou spare, wilt thou provide, and wilt thou protect. Then by renewal we commend unto thee the old father in the hospital. Wilt thou remember our Bethesda. And Lord, wilt thou gather us toward the end of this week, where a day has been set aside, that we may be given to remember the birth of thy dear Son in the manger. Wilt thou grant thy blessing, grant meditations. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings. Be the faithful keeper Israel, who slumbereth and sleepeth not in this night. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation. Grant a prayer for one another, Lord. May we be found more as beggars at thy throne of grace. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 182, the stanzas 1, 5, 6, and 7. O Zion, this thy God's command, that thou in strength securely stand. O God, confirm and strengthen still thy purposes in us fulfill. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. Due to the circumstances, the scheduled male members meeting on December 23 has been postponed for a later date. The confession of faith class will not meet tomorrow evening. And there will be Christmas Day services this coming Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock in the evening. And the collection will be for the school. Psalter 182, the stanzas 1, 5, 6, and 7. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.